It's July 23rd, and this is the Civil War Podcast. It was on this day in 1862 that Henry Wager Halleck became General-in-Chief of the Union Armies. Born in Oneida County, New York in 1815, Halleck attended West Point, where he finished third in his class and was recognized for his scholarly pursuits, earning him the nickname Old Brains. He taught classes while still a cadet and after graduation published a military report for the U.S. Senate. The report earned him an official trip to Europe in 1844 to observe French military tactics and fortifications. Upon his return, he lectured on these topics, publishing the talks as Elements of Military Art and Science, which became one of the handbooks used by field commanders in the Civil War. When the Civil War erupted, Halleck was made a Major General on the recommendation of Winfield Scott. He was given command of the Department of the Missouri after Fremont was ousted, and made an impression by cleaning up the disorder left in Fremont's wake. These administrative skills had been refined during the Mexican War. Halleck had been appointed lieutenant governor of the occupied city of Mazatlan and later served as the military secretary of state for the California Territory, where he helped compose the state constitution. Leaving the military in 1854, he was, by turns, a successful lawyer, land speculator, developer, and ranch owner in San Francisco. He also furthered his academic acclaim by publishing a translation of Baron Jomini's Life of Napoleon. Jomini was renowned to Halleck and other West Pointers, where his geometric tactics were a gospel preached by Professor Dennis Hart Mahan. One general joked, "Many a Civil War general went into battle with a sword in one hand and Jomini's Summary of the Art of War in the other. Halleck, a favorite of Mahan's, was one of them." Jominian principles dictate a careful, planned approach to battles, which were to be fought on open battlefields and won by careful maneuvering rather than costly frontal assaults. Halleck adopted this approach to both his military and his personal battles. Militarily, his aim was to seize cities, railheads, and depots rather than face open battle. His biggest field campaign was the misnamed Siege of Corinth in 1862. No actual siege was laid, but the army spent the entire advance behind entrenched fortifications Halleck ordered at every halt. According to Grant, all commanders were cautioned against bringing on an engagement and informed in so many words that it would be better to retreat than to fight. In the month-long campaign, Halleck's army advanced all of 5 miles. At the close of the campaign, General John A. Logan vowed, "My men will never dig another trench for Halleck except to bury him." This dismissive attitude was common amongst Halleck's subordinates. His prickly, bookish, and jealous nature alienated many of his colleagues. Grant was a particular target, with Halleck attempting to share his acclaim after the successes of Henry and Donelson, then undermining him when news of Shiloh horrified Washington. Stripped of his army and unhappily desk-bound, Grant complained, "My present position differs little from that of one in arrest," to which the rank-obsessed, desk-loving Halleck retorted, "I am very much surprised that you should find any cause of complaint in the recent assignment of commands. You have precisely the position to which your rank entitles you." He was summoned to Washington in 1862 to receive a promotion to General-in-Chief. Lincoln hoped he would be able to spur the generals across all theaters into action, but was disappointed. As top dog, Halleck did little more than send goading telegraphs and back down from the fights these provoked. Lincoln jokingly defended his tenure, saying, "The fact is, the man has no friends. He should be taken care of." But privately admitted that Halleck was little more than a first-rate clerk. The Secretary of the Navy, Gideon Welles, complained that he originates nothing, takes no responsibility, plans nothing, suggests nothing. In short, he is good for nothing. Halleck himself admitted, "I am simply a military advisor of the Secretary of War and the President, and must obey and carry out what they decide upon, whether I concur in their decisions or not. As a good soldier, I obey the orders of my superiors. If I disagree with them, I say so, but when they decide, it is my duty faithfully to carry out their decision." Lincoln did value his input on procedural and theoretical questions. However you may doubt or disagree with Halleck, he is very apt to be right in the end. Halleck's move east freed Grant from his arrest, returned him to the field, and cemented his fame. But after his old rival's promotion to lieutenant general, Halleck was relieved from command at his own request and became Grant's chief of staff. Halleck had alienated Grant after Shiloh with fussy official orders, including one dictating the proper folding of departmental communications, but his bureaucratic bent towards order and organization proved a boon to Grant. Freed of the responsibility of paperwork and administrative matters, he could apply himself in the field. The first-rate clerk redeemed himself. After the war, he was transferred back to California and from there traveled to the newly purchased Russian America. His purpose was to establish a military occupation, as he expected an Indian war such as was being fought in the plains. It was Halleck who recommended Alaska as the new name for the district, and Halleck Island there was named for him. In 1869, he was assigned to command the Military Division of the South. The consummate administrator, Halleck died at his post in 1872. You've been listening to the Civil War Podcast, a weekly podcast researched, written, and read by Aaron McGuire, with music by Tom Nagy. Thank you for listening.